Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out.
Yo, welcome back to Coolin' Out. We are back another week.
It's Kev.
And it's Rel. We got phenomenal, talented artists with us. R&B singer, pianist. What else you do? There's a lot in there.
I sing, play piano, I'm a music educator.
Cindy Rain, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So what we normally like to do is give people a little time, just tell people about themselves. Like if you had like a quick little blurb, who are you? I'm Cindy Rain, this is what I do.
So I'm Cindy Rain. Like I said, I'm a singer, songwriter, a music educator. I'm from Brooklyn. I've been singing my entire life. And, you know, my goal is to just uplift people with music in whatever way I can, whether it's like in a piano lesson or a voice lesson or with the music that I write or with a performance. That's like, that's my goal.
Gotcha. Let's start in the beginning. And then we're going to lead all the way up to your latest EP, The Mask, because I listened to it. Phenomenal. But let's start in the beginning. So your inspirations, like when did you first start singing? Who inspired you or what inspired you to start singing?
So some of my earliest memories are of me just singing at the top of my lungs to whatever music my parents were playing in the house. So like there was a lot of Michael Jackson. There was like, you know, Whitney Houston. And I just remember just singing all the time. Mm-hmm. And then when I was maybe about 8, I joined the church choir and got a few solos. I was like, maybe I'm pretty good at this.
Starting on them.
But I remember, like, I was in the junior choir, and I remember listening to the senior choir and their harmony, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is everything. Like, I need to learn how to do this. I just need to be doing music. Mm-hmm. I knew in elementary school that I wanted to do music.
Gotcha. Do you come from, like, a family that's, like, you know, based in music? Like, can your parents sing or anything like that?
My parents are hobbyists, so, like, they'll sing in the occasional church choir once every several years, but they're not musicians. But fortunately, you know, they nurtured my talents. Like, my mother signed me up for piano lessons when I was 12, and the rest is history. It's funny because she thought it was going to be a hobby, and then I was like, yeah, but I really want to do this. And yeah, my parents, they were like, wait, what?
So we have to keep paying for this? Oh, we thought this was a one-off thing. Do we really care about this? But nah, that's what's up. So you play piano, you start singing. When was the first time you realized, I'm really good at this? Like, I can sing. Was it one of your church solos where people were like, oh my God, that's a phenomenon?
I think it was middle school. Mm-hmm. There was a talent show that the dance teacher would put on, and she invited me to audition. So I auditioned and I sang Everything by Mary J. Blige. And she was like, you can really sing. And I was like, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I did the show. And afterwards, like, my classmates and my peers, they would come up to me and be like, girl, you did your thing. And I was just like,
gas.
Who, me? Really?
Gas.
Oh, I guess I must be good at
gas.
This. I think I want to win a Grammy one day. I want to be a singer. I'm really going to do this.
Uh-huh. And you just been pursuing it ever since then? Like, have you taken, like, vocal lessons, things of that nature?
So when I went to college, my major was voice and piano. So I have
I didn't know that was a major.
Oh, yes.
You said it first, because I was like, oh.
So it's a music major with a concentration in whatever instrument.
That's what's up. Yeah.
And then, wow. I continued taking voice lessons even after my degree was over. And actually, a few years ago, I had a couple of pretty bad vocal injuries, and I found this teacher, Jeanette Levetri, who nursed my voice back to health. And so, that was the vocal lesson journey for me.
What is a vocal what is a vocal injury?
Oh, a vocal injury? Okay. So your vocal folds kind of flap together like that.
Uh-huh.
People can't hear this on the podcast, but when they kind of bang together with more trauma, it kind of causes the equivalent of a corn. Like on your feet when you have shoes that are too small and there's this friction over time, you get bumps on your feet. Same thing happens with your vocal folds.
When you strain it, how does that come about? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So when you're singing with strain, like you mentioned, or when your technique isn't solid, that tends to happen. So whereas the vocal folds are supposed to come together cleanly, mm-hmm. we have little bumps and there's all this air escaping. So there was a period of time where my voice would just squeak. I'd be like, and it would just do all sorts of craziness. Uh-huh. But, thankfully, I was able to get rid of that without any surgery. Because, you hear a lot about mm-hmm. singers having vocal injuries and having to do surgery, and thankfully I avoided all of that.
What does that come from, straining your voice in the sense of trying to hit very high notes, or that means yes?
So no, it's not about singing high notes. It's about how you try to approach those high notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think, how much time do you have for the explanation?
Nah, you good. It's your world, queen. You are
right,
here. All I do is ask questions.
We're about to have a mini vocal lesson right now. So in the bottom of your range, we have what's called chest voice. It's speech-based singing. So if I were to go, that's
stunned on them.
Chest voice, right? And then
work. Go ahead.
Then the higher notes, you transition into head voice. We have, ooh, it sounds more operatic. It sounds light and fluffy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's supposed to be a transition from chest voice to head voice. It's called your passaggio, or the passageway. So without any kind of vocal lesson, this is what the average voice will do. And there's that little break there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't sound good. People don't like that. One wants to hear that in the context of a song.
Sound good to me.
Right? So most classically based voice lessons will teach you to get rid of that break mm-hmm. by bringing head voice down. So you'll go, ha, which is great for classical music, legit musical theater, which is the older style musical theater. But if you're singing R&B, gospel, stuff where you're expected to belt, it doesn't really do you very much good. So what most people will do is just push just chest voice up mm-hmm. as loud as possible and as high as possible. So it's kind of and that over time will kill your throat. So a lot of times, audiences like to hear singers sing loud and high. It's just impressive.
Yeah.
So a lot of songs are written really loud and really high. Mm-hmm. And a lot of singers don't have the technique to be able to do that in a healthy way. And it may sound good for a while, but you take that on tour. You take that on the road years. Yeah. And eventually your throat is just I'm done.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier your technique was flawed. What do you do now? How do you correct that?
So what I learned how to do is called mixing, and it's combining chest voice and head voice so that you're able to hit the higher notes with strength but without screaming. So for example, it sounds like this. That wasn't even the best example. I need to do that one more time. There we go. Okay.
Gotcha. I see what you did there. I see the vision.
So
I see the vision.
So yeah, because I'm able to do that, now I can hit higher notes in the context of a song and not have my voice go all over the place and do craziness.
What do you typically do to prep your voice when you have an upcoming gig, set, show?
I'll just warm up. So there are vocal exercises that I'll do. that
like
will
do re mi.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, just to like balance my voice and just have it be predictable. It's like, I didn't warm up today. So when I just, you know, gave you those examples, I was like, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I take the time to warm up before I'm singing, then I know what's going to come out of my mouth and I can rely on this sound.
Don't worry. These are untrained. Untrained. I was like, oh, okay. That sounds okay. Yeah. Don't worry about that. So let's, I would love to talk more about like your music making process. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm assuming do you write all of your own songs?
I do.
Okay, so what's that process like? Because I don't want to go too deep into your EP yet, but all five of those songs had like somewhat of a different feel to it. Mm-hmm. So I was just trying to figure out like, what is your songwriting process? If you could go a little bit in, you know, in depth about that.
So it depends. Sometimes a lyric will just drop into my head randomly throughout the day. Sometimes a melody will drop into my head randomly throughout the day. Sometimes I'll sit at the piano and I'll just start playing chords, and the lyrics and the chord and the melody and everything just comes out together. I used to write to tracks. I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But like Irresistible Me was written to a pre-existing track.
Gotcha.
Hell No.
That's my shit.
The first half of it, like everything other than the bridge, was written to a track from, why is this man's name escaping me? I'll remember it later, but he's a Johnny Hammond, 70s organ/piano player. So that track is called Tell Me What to Do off of his Gears album. So yeah, I wrote the beginning of that song to that. And then, so part of the reason why I generally don't write to tracks is because I don't like loops. Like I like the chords to go somewhere. I don't like my songs to be predictable. So after, you know, we've got this verse in the chorus and we've been hearing the same chords, I'm like, all right, it's time to write something else. So I'll go sit at the piano and I'm like, okay, where can I take this? Sometimes it takes me a really long time to write. Sometimes the songwriting process is really long and painstaking. I liken it to balancing equations in chemistry class, where so with balancing equations, if you do something to one side of the equation, you have to do something to the other side of the equation to balance it out.
Mm-hmm.
With songwriting, if I decide I want to change one word in the first verse, then that may end up changing a word in the second verse because it all has to fit together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sometimes it's a long process. Like Where It Ends took me a month to write. And then sometimes it's almost like I channel the song. Like I just start writing and the song writes itself and I'm like, oh, that's where we're going. Okay, that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So like The Mask, I wrote in 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but how do you know when it's right? How do you know like, okay, this line fits here? How do you know? Just a feel? Like,
yeah, you just know.
Yeah.
And then, like, there are signs that it's not right. So if it's too wordy, mm-hmm. it's not right. If the syllables don't fit properly,
mm-hmm.
it's not right. If it's redundant and, you know, I've basically said the same thing before, it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I took a songwriting class years ago and the teacher basically said, like, every line is important real estate. So, you know, you just want to make sure that the words that you're choosing are the exact right words that express this emotion and that you're saying it, like, as creatively as possible and as concisely as possible. So yeah, that's songwriting.
Gotcha.
it's a lot.
All right. So, I mean, you already started talking about your latest EP, The Mask. So we might as well just, let's dive into it. Like these songs, I'm assuming, like, are they from like a personal experiences? Like how do you,
every last one of them are from personal experiences.
Gotcha. So something like
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Irresistible Me, like, I'm sure it seems like a very empowering track. Well, it doesn't seem like it is a very empowering track. So, like, what were you feeling when you wrote that?
It's ironic because I was in a situationship. I had been talking to this guy for months and... you know, like, it was cool for him to talk to me, but he didn't want to, like, actually date me. And for months, I'm like, yo, what's wrong with me? Why mm-hmm. do you want to date me? And I felt like, you know, if I could be confident, then I would be good enough. So I kind of wrote the song from that place. And, mm-hmm. and it eventually ended up evolving because I finished the song years after... that situationship was over. And I was in more of a space where I was kind of like, okay, there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if other people don't agree, mm-hmm. like, I'm still pretty dope.
Yeah. So what I took from that is essentially it started as an illusion of confidence you were trying to give yourself to, like, you know, why doesn't this person want me? But then it evolved to, nah, fuck that. I really am dope. And, like, I'm going to tell myself I'm dope and everyone else should know I'm dope as well. Is that an accurate description of what you just said to people? Okay, cool.
What was the toughest song on you emotionally to write?
The Mask.
Why? Especially two-part. Why? But then also I'm asking why on a deeper scale because you said that was the one you wrote the quickest. 45 minutes is what you told me.
Yes. The Mask is the most honest song on the EP. So I think every other song on the EP, there's still an element of, like, trying to keep it together. The Mask was finally when I was like, nope, I'm a mess. And, like, I'm just tired and I cry all the time and I'm sensitive. So there. Like, there it is.
That's very surprising to me. Not the fact that, you know, you may or may not be a mess or cry a lot. I feel like the most... what I, like, emotionally, here's where it ends, is where I was like, wow, like, I felt a lot of emotion in that song.
So, I had to go back and put the emotion in the recording process, because like I said, in all the rest of these songs, there's an element of keeping it together. So,
yes.
Where It Ends was written about the same situationship that mm-hmm. Irresistible Me was about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like me coming to terms with the fact that, you know, okay, so while I did feel like he led me on, like, I have to take personal responsibility in this because, like, when you stick around where you're not wanted for months and months and months and months and months, like, that's on you.
Yeah.
But at no point in this song do I come to terms with the emotion of, man, this really sucks that he doesn't like me. This hurts. It really hurts to to feel like I've been led on a string. I went straight to, no, I'm taking personal responsibility. This is over. I'm done. So, like, I had to, like dig back and, like, find the pain of, okay, like, this sucked. Let me go ahead and put that emotion into the song. But it's not in the lyrics itself.
Where it's like, this is 100% brutal honesty. I'm looking at myself in the mirror. I can see that. Well, either way, here's where it ends inspired.
Thank you.
As a listener, like, what do you want me to take away from your project?
I want you to take away that the full range of emotion is okay. So, like, you know, sometimes it's going to be very strong and, you know, like, about setting boundaries. Sometimes it's going to be about, you know, just coming to terms with the truth of who you are. Sometimes it's sadness. Sometimes it's, you know, like, giving up a person you don't want to necessarily give up. But at the end of the day, it's all self-love. It's just all different facets of self-love.
So I would ask, how much have you changed from the person that started the project to the to its completion? Where are you now?
Oh, man. So I started writing Irresistible Me. That was the first song that I wrote on the EP in 2012.
Oh, damn.
2012, 2013. And like I mentioned before, like, it was a mask. It was like me trying to maybe be confident. And now I'm at the point where, like, I actually love myself and I'm living my best life, and I could not give a rat's ass about what anybody thinks about me. Like, I finally gotten to that point. And it's taken a really long time. It's been a long process to finally get here. But just the way I interact with people is different. The way I treat myself is different. I'm just a whole another person.
What was the gap in that time from when you started in 2012 to when you actually went back with the with a different approach for that song? Like, what was that gap?
Because 2012 is. Can you ask that question again, please?
Yeah, because 2012 is like 7 years ago or eight. When did you finish the song? Last year.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a 6 year gap in that. So when you initially started Irresistible Me, coming from that, you know, that false bravado, false confidence in 2012, when did you stop writing it? And then when did you, like, come back to it? When was that, I'm coming back to it from a real place of I'm dope? Like, how long of a gap was that?
I'd say it took all of those years. It took every single one of those years. It was a process. Like, every year I was inching more and more towards real confidence.
So, like, during that time, do you just, are you still recording? Are you still singing?
I'm still singing. I haven't written in a while. Right now, I am just trying to make the most of this release and trying to get.
I'm sorry. I meant in between that 6 year gap where you just stopped. You put the pen down for a while. Were you still writing?
Or? Yeah, I was definitely still writing. I was writing throughout this whole process. And of course, there are songs that I wrote that never made it on the EP. So for all these years, I was writing, and then I picked the songs that I felt best, like, went together around this theme. And The Mask is the last song I wrote. It was after The Mask that I was like, oh, that's what ties all these songs together. Yeah. Because I didn't set out to write an EP called The Mask. I didn't set out to write songs about any specific theme. I was just writing about whatever was showing up in my life. And then in hindsight, I looked back and I was like, oh, okay, this is what ties it all together.
Got you. So based on general consensus, general feedback that you've gotten back from people, what are some of the things that people have taken away from your project?
Some of the feedback that I've gotten is that it's very honest. There was one person who reached out to me and said that, you know, she hadn't really felt connected to music in years, but when she listened to the EP, like, you know, she could finally feel again. So that was really powerful for me to hear that.
That's wrong praise.
And I think that just speaks to the honesty of what I'm writing. Like, when I write, I'm not trying to please a specific audience. I'm just like, look, here's the truth. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. I mean, I think people will definitely respect the honesty, even just like what you're just talking about, Irresistible Me, and how, you know, you initially approached it a certain way, but then, you know, you finished it a certain way. Because a lot of people have this false bravado, like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, putting this confidence on to the external world, like, especially social media wise, to be mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm doing, you know, everything is
everybody
great.
Winning, yeah.
Everyone winning. Everyone. Ain't no one got a down moment. But so I mean, that's dope. I respect that. I respect the project. I listen to it. I think it's phenomenal. Like, thanks. Listen to it multiple times, front and back. I think it's dope. When did you release this project?
October.
Oh, okay. So it's fairly new. Have you been like performing it or anything like that?
Not yet. I shouldn't say that. I did a release party in October and I performed it then. And I just found a new band. So we are like,
oh, you boy.
We're like rehearsing.
Got a new
now
band.
And getting, you know, our sets together so we can be performing this music more this year.
Nice.
Mm. So what's next?
What's next? My goal is to be performing nationally and internationally. I have an opportunity to perform in Switzerland this summer. So that's definitely happening. Mm. Like, the goal is coming into fruition. Nice.
Talk to him. You know Switzerland. You ever been? Nah. Okay. Nah, that's cool. Nah, you don't even know what that is. Okay. Talk to him. Go ahead.
So, yeah. Okay, maybe not. I am in the process of creating a full tour around the Switzerland gig. And then also got some opportunities to perform in LA. So I'll be in LA this year. And just getting the word out about the EP, letting people know that it's out, that I'm here. So more people can be touched.
Got you. Nice. Is this your first project that you got?
It is my first project. And it's crazy because I've been at this for many, many years. Like, when I was 16, I was in basement studios around Brooklyn trying to, you know, work on my demo. And
demo. I haven't heard that word. God knows how
long. Yeah. And it's just taken this long for me to have a project that I feel like accurately represents me musically.
And sometimes that's what it's about. Some people just, you know, put something together, put it out. Whereas I think your project sounds very polished. Every song flows. And it's just a very polished product. One thing I do notice, when I listen to music, I love like background vocals. And just like, I love full songs. Like, and I feel like all of your songs sound very full. Mm. So I just wanted to, you know, give you props on that.
Thank you.
Like, I'm like, oh, who in the back singing like that?
That's me.
That's you? Yeah, sound like a whole choir. That's you?
Yeah.
Nah, but yeah, man, I think the project is dope overall. I'm good. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
What are your plans for future projects?
So there are a few producers that I'd like to work with in the future. Last year, so my family's from Trinidad. I was in Trinidad last year and I connected with a producer out there. So I want to, collaborate with him in the future. Mm-hmm. And then like, I'm really enjoying Afrobeats right now. So if I can figure out like an African connection, I have a couple African connections. We're going to need to like figure out how to get me on an Afrobeats track. That would be fun. and you know, just continuing to expand musically. I also love choral music. So maybe experimenting with like different types of harmonies and just seeing where I can take my music in the future.
Nice.
That's dope. You have anything you want to say to the people? Yes, you do. Check out the mask. Check out Irresistible Me on YouTube.
My phone
come on
just
now.
Started ringing.
I'm about
like,
to say,
on?
Like, come on now. I don't do this for free now. I'm like, you ain't got nothing to say?
Yes. Please check out the mask. It is on all platforms. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, it's on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's on Tidal, it's in all the places. Please follow me on social media at Cindy Rain, CindyRainnne, mm-hmm. on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the places. And look out for my next couple of music videos. I'll be releasing two music videos this year, one for Hell No and one for Where It Ends. It's both of your favorite songs. They will have videos this year. So be on the lookout for that. And, you know, feel free to reach out and connect anytime mm-hmm. on social media.
Hell No caught me right in the beginning. You said something like, oh, don't think I'm going to show up for free or something. I was like, ooh, that speaks to me.
That is the entrepreneur's anthem mm-hmm. and the artist anthem.
Ain't nothing free out here. People be asleep. We ain't doing that. But you know what you forgot to tell them? Irresistible Me is out now, the video.
Yes.
Check that out on YouTube.
Irresistible
Come
Me
on
video
now.
Is on
we
YouTube.
Get these views up. What
are
we doing out here? Yo, that's $5. I'm charging. Nah. But nah, for sure, guys, make sure you guys check out the Master EP. I don't play these games. I vouch for things I actually listen to. Talented, flows well. 5 songs, listen to it. It's all phenomenal. Check out the Irresistible Me video on YouTube. Follow her all over social media, Cindy Rain. Spell it again because everybody who listens to this podcast, they ain't the brightest. I love them, but they ain't the brightest.
CindyRainnne.
All right. That's Cindy Rain, guys. Make sure you check that out. As always, guys, thank you for listening to the podcast, man. Please make sure you guys rate, share, subscribe, all that fancy stuff I tell you every single week. We got the mm-hmm. full-length episodes on YouTube, IGTV, cutting up clips on Instagram. Kev working hard out here to do this for you guys. So make sure y'all, you know, support those and show Kev love because I ain't doing it. Kev doing it. As always, guys, stay tuned. This is Cooling Out.
Thanks again for coming.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
It was cool. You know, we do what we do.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We cooling out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We cooling out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.